Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen, remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Hey, friends, and welcome to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, and I'm so glad you're here. Each week on this show, I invite a friend to join me, and we chat about the big things in life, the little things in life, and everything in between. Hey, y'all, welcome to the Happy Hour. I'm Jamie, and I'm super giddy because Monday was the Happy Hour's birthday. Yes, 8 years this show has been happening, and sometimes it feels like I've been doing this my entire life, and other times it feels like I just started. And the reason this is so exciting is because Petoya talked today in our conversation today, talks a lot how she just said the next right yes with a lot of things in her life. And Jen Hand was on a couple months ago, and she talks about that as well as just saying the next yes. And I feel like this podcast is just me saying the next yes all the time. I could have never dreamed this up. I am so grateful for every single one of you who has ever listened to a show. I'm grateful that you keep coming back. I'm grateful for your kind words. I'm grateful to every guest that has said, yeah, I want to come on your show and talk about important things. Most importantly, I am so grateful for the work that this podcast has done in people's lives. It's not me. It is us. Like, this podcast is doing great things, and I get to be a part of it. And it is the most exciting thing I've ever gotten to do. I say all the time, hands down, I have the best job in the world. The conversations that I get to have, I would not trade them for anything. Because I'm a different person because of this show. I'm a better person because of this show. I'm more in love with Jesus because of this show. And so if it's done that for me, my hope is that it's done that to you as you've listened. So I just want to say happy birthday to the Happy Hour and thank you for being here. Today's our third episode in our four-part series about foster care. May is National Foster Care Month. And so we wanted to talk to different people who are in different parts of the foster care journey. Today on the show, Petoya Hall joins me. And Petoya is a beautiful woman who drove down and sat in my office and chatted with me about what it's been like for her to become a foster mom. A thing that's a little bit different about her story is she's a single woman. And we talk about that a lot in the show, and I think you're going to enjoy that. But Petoya makes it very clear that she set out to just say the next yes to God. You're going to be super encouraged by this conversation. Guys, if you want to see all of the resources that we have about Foster Care Month, go to jamieivey.com/foster. Everything's there, from all of these four conversations to any show that we've had in the past that talks about foster care. We want to put all of that in one spot so you can find anything that you need about foster care. You guys, did you hear the good news? We announced it on Monday, which was our birthday. I told you that. Happy birthday to the Happy Hour. But we announced that we have a podcast course. Yes, we have been wanting to do this for literally years. Not only have we been wanting to do this, you guys have been asking for us to do this for years. And so that's the best news, is that we are going to have a course for you guys this year. We're telling you, we're going to head start on it. We're telling you all about it now. If you're thinking, I've always wanted to have a podcast, first of all, I think, yes, you should. And second, we want to help you do that. So I wanted to tell you that good news. And I want to tell you, keep looking out in the newsletter for information about how you can know more about this podcast course that we're creating for you. Friends, if you haven't started following me over on Instagram, I would love to have you over there. My Instagram handle is @JamieIvey, and Instagram is just my most favorite social media place to hang out. And so I'd love to have you there. It's a lot of fun, and you can always keep up with who has been on the show over on my Instagram page. All right, friends, here's my conversation with Petoya Hall. Petoya, welcome to the Happy Hour.
Thank you for having me.
Well, so fun. Let me tell you, people come in and record often. And I just need to say, some people bring gifts. You went above and beyond today with your gift giving.
I love giving gifts.
You really do? Like, you love giving gifts?
Yes, For real. I love giving fun, specific gifts or just unexpected.
Whenever I meet people like you, I always think to myself, I want to be more like them because it's an area of my life. I've said it before. I need to let all my friends know, everyone, I am not that way. I don't think that way. I don't think, oh, I should bring something for them.
Like, okay, you know, when I was listening to your episode with Hunter, I was like, I am going to
because she came with gifts.
Did she come with gifts?
Yes, okay, she did.
I didn't remember, but I do remember you guys talking about frothing your coffee. And I think I have the same frother as Hunter. And I was like, I'm going to get Jamie a frother. But here's the thing. I have a one-year-old, and of course I didn't remember. But I knew
I totally forgot that I said I was going to buy a frother for this office, and we do not have one yet. So note to self, Lindsay. Frother needs to be ordered ASAP.
Absolutely.
Yes, she brought gifts too.
That's so fun. I'm not surprised.
I know.
Hunter's, yeah, that feels like her.
I say I need to like just really like be intentional that I want this to happen. I will tell you this. One thing I did last year was I went through, this is so dumb. It's not dumb, but I'm going to get to my story. At our office, we use this program called Asana. Okay. It's a task management program. So all of our projects are in there, everything. Well, you can just have your own personal list. So like if my people I work with saw my personal list, it's like call the groomer. I just put everything in there. Call the groomers, make eye appointments for the kids. I mean,
it's kind of a brain dump.
It is a brain dump. Yeah. And I use it as a brain dump a lot. But I went through and I put all the birthdays that matter to me. And I had them recurring. So I had them come up 2 weeks before the birthday. So I'm trying, that's my first step to try to be intentional with showing people that I love them through gifts.
Yeah. I put birthdays in my Google Calendar.
See,
because it sends me a text message and an email because I don't remember.
I know.
Facebook will tell you, but
I'm never on Facebook either.
So
do you love getting gifts as much as you love giving them?
I do love getting gifts. Okay. Sometimes I'm not sure how to receive them well, but I love a really thoughtful gift, even if it's just the simplest little thing.
Oh my gosh.
I think it's so fun.
I'm curious about that. But people who are really great gift givers, if they also love giving, also love receiving gifts, because I think you can be one or the other, obviously.
Yeah.
But so your gifts that you brought were from Magnolia.
Yes.
Because you live in Waco.
I live in Waco. And I was like, I have to bring something that's Waco-esque.
Yeah.
I know that you're a UT fan.
Yes.
So I did not bring you Baylor gear, but I really
It's okay. I cheer for the Bears.
Thank you.
Unless they're playing Texas.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll cheer for the Bears. I was really cheering for them in the tournament that we just had in March Madness. So, I'll cheer for them.
I'm also a UT fan, so I do feel torn a lot.
But now you work at Baylor.
Now I work at Baylor. So,
yes.
Go Bears.
Go Bears. Go Bears.
Yes. Brought you Magnolia. It's delicious.
How long have you lived in Waco?
Oh, man. 5.5 years.
Okay. Okay.
Which is
so
wild.
Waco was already what it is now 5.5 years ago.
Just about.
Yeah. I mean, those of us, are you from Texas your whole life?
I'm from Texas.
Okay. So when those of us from Texas, when people like rave about Waco, we really are like, no one knew about Waco until Chip and Joanna Gaines.
Well, and when I was, my family was like, why are you going to Waco? Like, why? You live in Austin. I'm not sure about Waco. Yeah. And I was like, I promise it'll be good.
What is the thing that most people think about Waco pre-Chip and Joanna and pre- Baylor's doing really great in athletics in the last 5 or 6 years.
Yes.
So I don't want to like forget about them. They've come a long way and won national championships and things like that. So go Bears. But previous to this, what would people think about when they would think about Waco?
Oh, David Koresh?
Yes,
is
David Koresh. Have you seen the TV series?
No.
And it's called Waco?
Yes, I know about it. I haven't let myself watch it. And
well, you
I
know who plays
to.
David Koresh.
Who?
Are you also a Friday Night Lights fan?
Okay. I haven't watched.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Latoya, what are we doing here?
What are we doing? I know. I should be ashamed.
Okay. Well, the first thing I want you to do when you leave here is I want you to make a plan.
Got it.
To go watch Friday Night Lights.
Yes.
People told me to watch it forever and I couldn't get into it. And then I just binged it a couple years ago and
this
loved it.
This is how I feel about it. Okay.
So David Koresh is played by Tim Riggins.
Really?
That's not his name. His name's Taylor. But
okay.
So that was a little odd to see Tim Riggins playing.
Yeah. I need to watch both of those because I was on a trip to England and they legitimately asked me about David Koresh.
Oh, wow. See, that's what I'm telling you, people. You guys
know.
Yes, people know about Waco from that.
Which is unreal.
So thank you, Chip and Joanna.
Yes.
For redeeming this little dot of a place between Dallas and Austin.
And now it's amazing.
And now it's amazing.
So many people.
I went a couple
from all like, over.
I travel to Dallas a lot for work, but I don't drive a lot because I just
I-35. Yeah,
it's
not
you
worth
just
it.
Drove down here.
Uh-huh.
It's anxious. It makes me feel bad. It makes me feel
it's
things
tough.
I don't want to feel. But one time I was there and I stopped at Magnolia. I've been once. I needed to see it. It was beautiful. Chip and Joanna, you're doing a great job. But I saw these tour buses and I was like, y'all, this place. So I every time I think about them, I'm like, talk about a couple who just transformed the city. And I know, like, let's give credit. There's probably a lot of other people who have really put a lot of work into the city of Waco. But it's a fun little place now.
It's a fun little place. There's a, it's a great place for entrepreneurs.
Obviously, really?
Chip and Joe is
very large, we've seen that.
But there are so many small businesses and organizations to support small businesses.
I love that.
It's a fun little gem.
I love that. Yeah. Okay, so you live in Waco, but tell us about you. What do you do? Your family, all the things.
So I work for Baylor University.
Go Bears.
Go Bears. I work in human resources, which a lot of people will cringe, but I'm like, I really love it.
Yeah.
I really love it. I don't know what that means about me, but I think it's a really fun and neat job.
Yeah.
My family is just me and my daughter, Addie. That's still so strange to say. Her full name is Adeline.
Yeah.
I always have to tell people that because it really is my favorite. Mm. I just think it's so beautiful and fitting to her now. But I loved that name even before her.
Yeah.
And yeah, we just live this small town life in Waco, Texas.
I love it. Well, I'm really happy that you're here. And the listeners know we're right in the middle of this two-week, four-episode series about foster care.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that's really important for me to chat about. Yeah. I have three children in my family through adoption, none through foster care. I always say, like, I mean, God does what he does, and I follow him and trust him, and he does things that are right. But I always say, had we gotten to Austin sooner before we started our family, we would have ended up probably on this foster care journey, because the church I attend has just done a great job with foster care. So, but you, your family was created through this foster care journey as a single woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to just ask you a couple questions that people might be wondering.
Okay.
First of all, I do get a lot of people, I wouldn't say a lot, but I get people asked sometimes, like, I am a single woman and I want to be a parent. So what does that look like? So can you just tell me how you got from, okay, I'm single, I don't have children, I'm going to become a foster mom, I'm going to adopt an infant, I'm going to be a mom. Like, tell me that journey.
Wow. Well, let me just say the Lord. Mm. The Lord is my favorite description. I say my favorite description. One of my favorites is when C.S. Lewis is describing Aslan in Narnia, and he says he's not a tame lion, but he is good.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes and amen. So I knew for a long time that I wanted to foster. I think because I just have a heart for people who don't have a home. So I didn't know what that would look like or when that would happen. And I think for a long time, I was like, I would love to work with refugees and support helping them create a home or find home and help understand what that means. So for me in 2020, when the world shut down, I had a beautiful home in Waco. And at that point, I had known and been praying about when do I start? So for years, I provided respite care for foster families. And in 2020 in Waco, there were so many kids with nowhere to go. There were a lot of factors that contributed to Waco kind of being in this influx of we have lots of kids and not a lot of homes to send them to. So they were taking kids to other counties, which makes it really difficult for their foster placement. One, to do potential meetups with their bio family. Lots of complications.
Lots of things,
So I was like, okay, Lord, I actually don't know if this is time. I think now people think, oh, that totally makes sense and it all worked out really smoothly. But for me, I did not know. I just said yes to the foster class. And then I said yes to the next foster class. And as I got further in, I really thought, there's no way I can do this.
Yeah. Because it just felt like overwhelming, like this is a lot.
This is a lot. And there's potentially a lot that they're going through, and am I enough? Can I provide just me? Is this what's best for them, to go into a home with an individual versus a set of parents? So long story shorter, I guess, I continued to say yes. And so I I never knew along the way if I would actually have a child in my home. I just knew I was saying the next yes. Yeah. And so I was certified officially on a Friday for 0 to 12. That was my range, because I knew there were middle school age kids that were also in Waco with not a lot of options. There were not a lot of families that were like, we're open to 8 to 12 year olds. Yeah. And I was so intimidated, but I was like, I'm just going to say yes. Yeah. And so I was certified on Friday afternoon, and Monday morning I got a call that said, hey, we have a 4-day old baby at the hospital with nowhere to go. And I just took a pause and I was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to say yes. I just sensed and felt, I don't know what it is, that it was the next right yes. Wow. And so she came 4 hours later.
Oh my gosh.
Which is wild.
It's so crazy. And I love the way you just told that, because you had this theme that went through the whole story of like, it's just the next yes. Yeah. Like just the next yes. And I think about some of the coolest things in my life that I think sometimes, I don't know how I got here.
Yeah.
I don't know how this happened. Yeah. I mean, even with my own family, I've got like 18-year-olds, 16-year-old. Sometimes I'm like, how did I get here?
Yeah.
And so much of our life literally is going, I'm just going to say the next yes.
Yes.
And you did that. Yeah. And
one of my good friends says, live with the light unto your feet, because she knows that I have this tendency to want to do this, the whole thing. I want to see everything. I want to see the full picture before I take the next step. And she says, Jesus will give you just the light unto your feet to take the next step. And so the foster care journey, that really was what it was for me. Yeah. I mean, every single course that I took was, I am not capable, but I really believe I'm called.
Wow.
So I'm going to keep saying yes.
That is like how we should live our lives.
I wish I could apply that to so many other
But I think that you will, though. Life. I mean, because, but in the moment, you didn't think that you were actually doing that.
No, absolutely.
Like in the moment, you were like, you know what, guys? Here I am. I am not capable, but I'm called.
For sure.
What's next? No, you were just like showing up trembling and scared.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right. Trembling and scared is so right, because they really give you, which is as they should,
exactly,
the real picture of what it looks like to enter into brokenness and advocate for someone else.
Yeah.
I think a big piece of the story for me is, truly, before I started my first class, I had prayed, and this will choke me up a little bit. Lord, I think I want a family. And for me, that meant I would like to get married. And I think at some point I would like to have kids. And the Lord said, trust me with your desires. Mm. Because to me, entering into foster care is not building my family. It's really advocating for someone else's family and entering into their story. And so for me, it was, I surrender and trust what I desire and walk with the Lord and what he's actually calling me to. Yeah. So for me, it looked like, I think I'm going in the opposite direction. Mm. That's what it looks like to me, but I'm just going to walk.
You're just going to walk.
Yeah.
It's that verse in Proverbs that we probably all memorize when we're little, if you grew up in church, like, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Absolutely.
And I think I'm like you a lot of ways, is like, God, if you'll just tell me how this is going to end up, I'll trust you more. Like,
totally.
Don't you want me to trust you more? So just fill me in.
Yes.
And he literally is like, I'm going to just follow the little light in front of your steps.
Yes.
And that feels hard. And I know it's been beautiful for you, but it's also been super hard in some ways as well,
sure.
I would imagine. You know, just last week on our show, we had Tori Peterson on, who grew up in the foster care system. And she has a beautiful book that comes out in August. And just her talking about the, I want to be careful with my words, like the wrong reasons that people might foster, and what you said just now, I hope everyone heard it, and if not, I'm going to repeat it right now, is that you really went into this saying, I'm going to be a part of someone's story. Jamie Finn, who was on, talked about that. Brittany Salmon, who was on, talked about that. Like, we've just had this theme going on. We're talking about foster care and adoption. It's like, it is this moment of, how do I step into a child's story, instead of like, oh, come in, you're completing my family.
Yes, yes.
One in eight, That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. We'll serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had. Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves. Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can help you grow from here or keep growing here.
Hi, welcome to
McDonald's. 1 in 8, start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
If you don't know it, guys, I'm a Texas girl through and through. I've lived here most of my life. I was born here and I love traveling. Here's why I love traveling throughout Texas, because it has a vast landscape of cultures, regions, destinations, and activities, which means there's an infinite number of different travel experiences. And no two travelers are exactly alike, and it means that no two trips should be either. If you're a beach person, well, you can have fun under the sun with Texas's 350 miles of coastline. If you're more of a rugged vacation type, there are campgrounds, hiking trails, and state parks galore. And foodies cannot get enough of Texas's world-famous barbecue and Tex-Mex. Enjoy live music, visit internationally recognized art museums, and check out thrilling cowboy experiences. And now, Travel Texas offers a one-of-a-kind online trip builder that allows users to generate a custom, visually led trip matched to their unique interest. Guys, come visit my state. Visit traveltexas.com/get-your-own to get the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours. That's traveltexas.com/get-your-own.
Doors take us to summers away or winter adventures and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Now, I want to ask you, like, I think that's easy for us to say, but that has to be hard to actually walk out.
Oh, my goodness. I really did. It was amazing. I couldn't have written it myself. I almost think I wouldn't have written it because it feels cruel, but I know God is good. Yeah. He's not cruel.
He's that lion, like you mentioned.
Absolutely. Yes. I'm like, you're so wild. I just prayed, God, I want a family. Mm-hmm. I desire to build a family and for this family to be even a space for others to find safety in. And I think God was just really breaking apart my vision, not breaking apart my desires, but breaking apart my vision for what that looked like and what the timing of that looked like. And honestly, the order of what that looked like as well. I think It's interesting to explain to people. I didn't foster because I was tired of being single and wanted a family. I didn't foster because it was just, you know, I'm getting older and now it's time to start my life. It really was a surrender.
Yeah. And I think that's hard to explain because it doesn't feel like the right steps in what we have in this American culture of what life looks like. And so it would seem like, oh, Petoia must be like, I got to do this. I got to get a family. I'm behind in what God has planned for me. And so it's just this kind of rethinking the way we look at caring for the vulnerable, you know, and what that looks like. So there's two things I wanted to just really talk about for a second. The obvious. Number one, if you're just listening and you have not seen a photo or you have not been on YouTube, I just want to say, like, I'll state the obvious. Petoia is a black woman and your daughter is a white daughter.
Yes. Okay. She is.
So this is not quote, I'm using a bunch of air quotes here, listeners. This is not quote unquote typically what we see.
That's
And so I would love to just hear from you, like, the struggles that have come with that, the beauty that's come from that, what God has shown you through this. Like, what does that look like these past, she's two now?
She's almost two.
Okay,
she's
year almost and a half. Two. So what does it look like these past 18 months?
Wow, she is, she's so fun, first of all. I love learning her and seeing her without any sort of expectation because I didn't birth her.
Right.
So it's just fun to see what God has created her to be. But yeah, it's, I think when we, some of the things have been when we are at dinner or we're out with friends, and she just attracts people. Mm-hmm. It's just something in her. People are so drawn to her. And so when people have questions about her, yeah, they look at my friends,
yeah,
and they ask questions about her story. And it's funny because I'm answering all the questions, but they're still looking at my friends, uh-huh, who are white, yeah, and they just assume, mm-hmm, or they assume that I'm her babysitter. Mm-hmm. One thing that I never considered, I was talking to a friend about this, is she said, Patoya, the interesting thing for you is people might assume that you're married and your husband's white. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that you might have to explain to people, yeah, or that you might need to explain to, mm-hmm, people is, she's not, that's, yeah, not our story, yeah, even that. And so it's been an interesting thing because you hear a lot of stories of, okay, there's white women who are learning to care for hair, or white women who are getting these questions of,
yeah,
well, where did they come from, or, uh-huh, do they belong to you? And honestly, I have not gotten the horrific questions, mm-hmm, that I'm sure we'll get at some point. Yeah. But it has been interesting learning to care for her hair.
Yeah.
She has completely opposite hair of me. Yeah. And I've had a friend that says, Patoya, do not put oil in her hair. I'm like, yeah. Because it's curly, yeah, but completely different, yeah, texture. And so it is a challenge also, just, you know, I think about when I took her to her first doctor's appointment, and I can't tell you how many times that one of the nurses said, well, you should have gotten that at the hospital. Well, they would have done that at the hospital. Mm. And I keep saying, I didn't have her. Mm. Like, I wasn't at the hospital with, yeah, her. Or they ask, well, where's her mother? Mm-hmm. Can you get that information from her mom? Mm-hmm. And so those are hard, yeah, things that I think, what is that going to look like when she starts to ask those, mm-hmm, questions? How do I have that conversation honorably? When, mm-hmm, do I start to have these conversations? When is she going to notice that our skin is different? Yeah. She already is fascinated with my hair and, uh-huh, loves to pull it, uh-huh, which most kids are.
Right.
So
yeah.
Right now, I think a lot of the challenges are just, what will this look like for her? Mm-hmm. How is she going to experience this? And even when I'm responding to strangers, I don't want to just defend us.
Yeah.
But how do I communicate, yeah, honorably for,
yeah,
our family?
Yeah. What does it look like for someone to ask you those questions? Because it is intriguing. The same way I have, I'm the opposite, mm-hmm, situation. You know, I've had people intrigue about my family because I'm white and have black children. Yeah. So what is like the way that makes you feel the most loved and cared for someone to ask questions? Because I think that puts it like, I have 18 years in this game. Yeah. And so I am not as caught off as,
yeah,
as I was,
yeah,
in the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, in the beginning, I remember someone said, like, do you know their mom? And I'm like, I am their mom. And now I would just be like, yes, yeah, we do. We have, you know, yeah, like it's not,
yeah,
as tender for me as it was then. But I think people are wondering, like, what does it look like,
yeah,
to question in a honoring way, yeah, and a way that is not intrusive, but is just curious?
Yeah.
What does that feel like? What is good for you?
So there was a sweet lady in Tuesday morning, of all places. Oh. When's the last time I went to a Tuesday morning?
I don't even know where one is, right, here in Austin.
Okay.
But yes.
They may not exist.
You have one in Waco?
Yes.
Yes. It's still hanging on.
I really think I was just killing time,
yeah,
of why I was in there. But there was a sweet lady who, she walked up to us. I have Addie in a cart and we're just browsing, and she walked up to us and she said, you both look so happy. What is your story? What's your story? And true, she was a stranger. Yeah. She knew nothing about me. She didn't know me at all. And you could tell that she's noticing that we're, yeah, different. Uh-huh. So I just appreciate her verbiage, yeah, of, you both look so happy. What's, mm, your story? And so I got to tell her, well, I got to meet Addie when she was 4 days old,
yeah,
you know? So I end up telling our whole story to this lady. She's crying. I'm crying, you know,
right there in the middle of Tuesday morning.
Yes. Big things happening in Tuesday, yeah, morning. But I think I really valued that she called out a connection, mm, between us and identified something that we shared, which, yeah, was really sweet. And she approached it maybe with assumption, but her words didn't come with a lot of assumption. And she just said, what's your story?
I love that because she might have had assumptions because I think we all make assumptions.
Yes.
All the time.
For sure.
Every day. But she didn't lead with that.
Right. And so I think she was just curious, which I was like, oh, I'm so happy to share our story because I didn't write it. I could not have written this.
Yeah.
It is fascinating to me how Addie and I end up together. But I just really appreciated it from a complete stranger.
Yeah.
What's your story?
Yeah. You know, we're talking about foster care this whole month. It is, like you said, I just kept making one yes after another, one yes after another. And it's, you tell me if your story is unusual that this was your very first placement.
Yes.
I mean, that feels unusual to me.
Very unusual.
Okay.
Yes.
Because normally we hear a typical story of people would, you know, foster
multiple
children, lots of children,
lots of kids who are in and out. Maybe they do go back to a family member and at some point they come back even to the foster placement. Yeah. And so there's a lot that can go into a foster story, but we have a very unique story.
You do have a unique story.
So the entire time that I was going through the classes, they tell you there will be no infants. If you're here to start your family with a brand new baby, that is not a thing.
It's good that they say that because that's like you said, people are like, I want to start a family this way. And that is not your goal. Yes. Yeah.
Well, and a lot of people will say, I just want a child with no trauma.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, okay.
Well, that's not possible. They literally were removed from their mother. Yeah. So, yeah. Or their, and their
even
father.
Even at four days old. I mean, that's the misconception is like, oh, well, I adopted child from birth, or I was adopted at birth, or whatever the scenario, and there's loss and there's trauma. And the truth of the matter is, I'll just say this, if anyone doesn't know this, everyone has trauma.
Yes.
Everyone.
Absolutely.
If you grew up in the best family, we live in a fallen world.
Yes.
You've had things happen to you that have left a mark on you.
Yes.
That were traumatic.
Absolutely.
That's my little plug for the day.
Yes. I 100% agree. And so I can't remember what you asked for that.
Some people come in and they're like, I don't want a kid that has any trauma.
Oh, yes. So in our, our caseworker always says, Patoya, I can never tell anyone your story. Mm. And I'm like, it's okay. Jesus will tell the story. But because she says, this is what people think happens and it never happens.
Yeah.
So Addie came to my house straight from the hospital. Her birth mom actually called CPS herself and said, I can't take care of her. Make sure she goes somewhere great. Mm-hmm. So there was no, we had no involvement or connection, which presented challenging things because, of course, I think I would have loved to know really anything.
Yeah.
And the father's not in the picture as well. So in a sense, it was really clean. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the right word to use, but simpler, a lot less complicated. Yeah.
Which has its own complexity to it as well. So like, you keep saying this and I'll keep saying it is like, there's no like perfect ending and everything is,
Because truly the complicated part of having nothing is we really know nothing. So we try to fill out any form of paperwork. And I mean, we have pages and pages and pages that are empty that just have nothing on it. And that is hard. It's hard to know why is her body responding like this. Or we, during the pandemic, we quarantined, true quarantine, not leave our house with this brand new infant for 3.5 months because it was like, I know it would be helpful to have people come in, but we don't know anything about her. And in the first 3 months, if she gets anything, we don't know how to triage it.
Yeah.
Without
family history. Yeah.
Yes. With no family history. So it definitely has its complications.
Yeah,
But she was adopted within 6 months, which is, again, our caseworker is like, Patoya, you met a little girl that was 4 days old straight from the hospital.
Yeah.
You knew she needed to be adopted within 2 weeks. You had no involvement from bio family. Yeah. And within 6 months, she was
your daughter.
Yours.
Yeah.
And I was like, That's not typical.
Yeah. But I mean, I love that you started the story telling us exactly the way God moved and presented, like, trust me. Like, yeah, trust me. And yeah. And I'm not saying that your daughter met those things.
Right.
But all I'm saying is, like, you never went into it going, I want a 4-day-old from the hospital adoption, a simpler, as might say, right, that you've said. And so God has just been with you through all Absolutely. Of that as well. Yeah. Now, single parenting.
Oh, man.
You know.
Not for the faint of heart.
So this is like, you know, we've had a couple of people on our show who have single parented. In fact, next week I have a woman who's coming on who placed her baby for adoption. And she mentions a mutual friend of ours, mm-hmm. Becca Harris.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And Becca's been on the podcast before, Love which is Becca. Why I felt comfortable saying that. But, you know, single mom as mm-hmm. well through mm-hmm. the foster care system.
Yes.
But I'm meeting a lot more women mm-hmm. who are choosing to become parents mm-hmm. In a quote unquote normal, traditional, fill in your blank word way. So I'd love to hear from you. Like, what pushed you towards thinking, I can do this, even though you said earlier, like, I can't do this. But there was something, even though you felt not capable, there was something that says, I can do this. Mm-hmm. And besides the foster care stuff, because you already told us that, like, you went in, mm-hmm. not like, I want to be a mom, but like, I want to take it. But you are a mom now. And so, totally. Like, I just want to mm-hmm. say that. So what does that look like for you now? And then I also want to hear, how has community stepped in and really played a big role? And then, without throwing anyone under the bus, like, what have you missed?
Yeah.
Like, how can church communities and neighborhoods, mm-hmm. how can we really rally behind mm-hmm. single parents, whether that be a mom or a dad, through the divorce or death or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
How do we do that? So those were a lot of questions, but I just want to hear from you. Like, man, that decision to say, I'm really going to walk with the lamp at my feet. And this means I'm going to be a solo parent. Yeah. Like, there's not someone coming home to take another shift.
I think it was helpful that single parenting was not new to me.
Okay.
There are a lot of single parents in our family. My mom is a single parent with 7 children.
Okay.
So
you're like, if she can do it,
then maybe I can attempt it.
Yeah.
We'll see. So it was helpful that it wasn't a completely new idea.
That's good.
To single parent. Mm-hmm. I think I was just open. I think there's something that Jesus has allowed me to experience in him that I'm like, if he calls me to it, if he is saying yes, then it's his to say yes to. I'm just the vessel, and he's who's going to provide, he's who's going to do it. So here we go. And so those are helpful things. Now, it is very hard. You asked about community. I do have a roommate, which is a whole other thing. I think she has just been amazing in living with an infant. Uh-huh. And she's like,
that's not hers.
That's not hers. Uh-huh. And she had not been around a lot of kids before. And so, that even that in and of itself has been a gift. Seeing the Lord provide, in the most practical of ways is just really, I think, a testament for not just for parents, but for everyone.
Yeah.
It's like, God knows. He knows. This is his thing. So he's going to provide for it. But we would not make it without community, for sure.
Yeah.
We, before Addie, I was a professional that just kind of did what I wanted. I had no restraints at all. Yeah. And so our friend group, really, I mean, they visited us through the window when we weren't allowed to hang out with people, because I was like, I just need to see friends. And it was also during the pandemic when everyone was kind of feeling that way. So it was really sweet of them to literally sit on our porch and converse with us through a window.
Wow.
And bring meals and bring diapers and do Target runs, because that was also the time where we're like, does COVID live on surfaces for a certain amount of time? Leave boxes outside because we're not sure. So it was an interesting time to become a parent, I think. But it also, I think, as much as community is so helpful and has swarmed us, they don't live with us, mm-hmm. and they're not there in the day to day. And my sweet roommate has a full-time job yeah. and travels a lot for her work. And so I think just day in and day out, I wear down really quickly. Mm. And I think I realized very early on that if I don't take a break from Addie, then my day to day becomes robotic, and I'm not connecting with her.
Yeah.
I'm not building relationship mm-hmm. with her. I'm just keeping her alive.
Yeah.
And it's really not best for her to get an exhausted robotic mom. Mm. And I miss out on her.
Yeah.
You know, I miss out on the things that really are sweet mm-hmm. and really are so fun because they become annoyances because yeah. I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
And so that has been very challenging. This is such a timely question because last week was a really tough week. I was sick and Addie was sick and my roommate is traveling. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, what do I do when I have a high fever
yeah.
and truly probably should be in bed, but my kid is also sick.
Yeah.
And we just had to make it through. Mm-hmm. There's no beautiful answer to that. It's exhausting, it's messy, and you don't have an option
yeah.
to sleep. And so
yeah.
So that was a tough
yeah.
thing. And I know that so many single parents do this and they don't have an option even through church maybe. Mm-hmm. And so just thinking on it, I ended up talking to a mentor about this after the fact. And I told her having a child and owning a home and working full time is just too much for anyone.
Yeah.
These are all such sweet gifts, but I can't do it.
Yeah.
And so she said, let us help. And I think I hadn't been able to think what does help look like until she said, show me your list. Show me your list of things for your house.
Mm-hmm.
And truly, it was like, I can't reach the recess lighting yeah. to change the light uh-huh. bulbs. I don't know how to reprogram the garage door opener. So I just leave our garage open a yeah. lot or things like that. And so I think for the church, I think sometimes we overthink helping. And
that's good.
I am such a, yeah, I do this.
Yeah.
I people ask me, how can we help? And I'm like, oh, we're good. Or we think it's a critical time, so let's provide a meal, which is so helpful yeah. and good. But I think we forget that the church is made up of people who are full of skills
yeah.
and gifts. And she brought an army of people, truly, to my house
wow.
on Saturday. And they were there for 3 hours, and they did about 15 to 20 things that I would have never been able to do.
Wow.
I would have needed to buy a ladder
yeah.
to, you know. But it was like, oh my goodness, you actually understand
yeah.
and have some sort of meter that measures a motor in a dishwasher
yeah.
to let me know if it's going out or not.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Who would have known?
So I think in terms of the church, I think we can think about sometimes I have skills mm. and giftings that I use on a regular basis. How can I maybe serve someone else?
That is so good.
And so it was a hard, but I think a beautiful thing came
yeah.
out of it.
And I think there's two things here is like even you having to be willing to go like, I'm going to give you that list.
Yes.
Because we don't actually sometimes want to share our list.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's hard. How long have I had this list?
Right.
It just has kept growing.
Yeah.
For months.
Right.
You know, and so it was, I mean, she had to say, give me your
the list.
You're not leaving today until you give me your list.
Wow.
And so I said, okay. Because I knew I can't do it.
Yeah. And it is a you laying down this mm-hmm. thinking of I can do all things.
Yes.
And then it's also people going, I do know how to do this.
Yes.
So how can I serve and help
yes.
and be a part of this? And I yeah. think that you're right. So many times we see, you know, if Addie's 18 months old, mm-hmm. we see like, it's not that people forget because that's not it.
For sure.
It's not that they forget. It's just that life.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly, I mean, it's just life.
Yes.
Like everyone that served you so well, and yes. I'm not saying they're not serving now, so don't
right.
hear me say that.
Right.
I'm saying generically in situations, people who serve so well in
yes.
crisis, none of them are like, you know what, I'm done serving her.
No.
No one's ever thinking that.
Absolutely not.
No one, everyone's just thinking like, oh,
They're good.
They're good. And now I'm serving someone else, or I need serving, or my kid is this, or my job is that. And so there is this idea of like, let's just lay all of our cards on the table.
Yes.
And the cards are, I didn't quit serving you. Like, you know, no one was being mean.
Yes.
And then also the cards of like, I'm going to like wave this white flag that I need a little help.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to do. You know, we're recording this, and Mother's Day was just 2 days ago. If this is a Wednesday, so it was on Sunday. And one thing I've learned through doing this show for 8 years and talking to a bunch of women is that this idea of motherhood, this image that we have of it, this image that's been told to us, is sometimes hard. I also have learned after talking to people for a long time is that people's stories are difficult with relationships.
Yeah.
And some people come into Mother's Day very weary. Some people come into Mother's Day a little overwhelmed. Some people come into Mother's Day like shaking their fist at God. And then like some people come into Mother's Day truly like, I feel
celebratory.
Like celebratory. Exactly. I was talking to Whitney, who you guys that are listening will hear on Friday, and saying, you know, there have been seasons that Mother's Day has been hard for me, but for the most part, it'll be a joyous day.
Yeah.
On Sunday, or it was, I hope, between now and then. I hope it still is that. But what about you? How does Mother's Day feel for you as a single mom? What does it look like for you this year?
Man, that's a great question. Mother's Day is confusing.
That's a good answer.
It's very confusing for a lot of reasons. I lost my mom in 2019.
I'm sorry.
It's so strange to say lost because I think there's such a connection that I'm like, it doesn't feel like she's gone. It just feels like I haven't talked to her in a long time.
Yeah.
And so I think since Addie, I've thought a lot about the kind of daughter I wish I could have been. Praise God for the freedom that he is like, there's no regrets.
Yeah.
There are no regrets.
Mm-hmm.
And what a gift of a mother's love. And so I do feel a lot of freedom from that. But I think learning Addie and caring for Addie, the beauty that motherhood is for children and for the mom, I just am like, ugh, I wish I could have celebrated her more.
Yeah.
And so she was so fun and so bright that it's hard to be sad on Mother's Day. I'm like, she would absolutely be like, let's eat fried chicken and let's dance.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. So there's that. And then I also think I almost feel like I'm not qualified to be a mom yet. I can't believe I'm in this mom club. So that is also a confusing thing, but also I am a mom and I want to honor that and be so thankful for that. But then I also think, Addie's birth mom, I can't even fathom what this must be like for her. And I've worked really hard to not try to put myself in her shoes, not to create a story that I don't actually know, because I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know her story. I don't know anything about what she thinks or feels. And so I don't want to create that for her. But it's a confusing day.
Yeah.
And so I think when I can zoom out, I can say, praise God that we see a reason to celebrate and that we can honor such a beautiful thing such as motherhood. But it is really confusing for me.
Yeah, I like the way you answered that it feels confusing. And I think Mother's Day also is this time to also celebrate women who have mothered us. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I can think of people who are not my mother. Who I have felt so loved from them as if they were a mother to me. And I hope to be that to people, you know? And so I think it can be confusing. And again, this week we're talking about motherhood with you and I mean, with a Mother's Day with you and Whitney, and it passed. So I'm like, okay, guys, it's in the past. But I do think it's a great opportunity for people to listen and say, man, how do I reach out to that woman at church that Mother's Day might feel confusing? And I think that's a great word to describe it.
Yeah. I think I have such sweet friends who know that about me, and they acknowledge all of the aspects. That is so helpful. So if you're someone who's like, how do I celebrate? How do I help this? How do I reach out? just acknowledge all of it. Yeah. You say, I'm sorry, it's hard. Yeah. I'm sorry for the things that are heavy. I'm thankful that you are a mother. And also, we get to pray for Addie's birth mom, for whatever her story is. Yeah. You know, I have such sweet friends who have done all of those things. And I'm like, thank you for helping me just acknowledge all of them. And now I can enjoy the day. Yeah. And so hopefully that's helpful to someone, because people do come in with a lot of different things. Yeah. And that's such a ride on. I love that you, there's a group of women that I call my wing mamas. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's strange or not, or how I even came up with that concept, but I texted all of them on the morning of Addie's adoption and just said, I know that my mother, if she were here, would just be so honored because of the way you all have mothered me. And thank you all for leading me into a role that you all have been and are. And so, wow. I mean, I could talk for hours about each of them. They're such a gift, even from afar. And so I think that is that I'm like, they are so worth celebrating. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, good. Well, you're worth celebrating too.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you are fully qualified to be a mom, because we all come in going, I don't know what we're doing. Yeah. No one knows what they're doing when they step into this role. I just want to really say thank you for sharing your story. And I think I will just always remember this interview as you just saying at the beginning, I just said the next yes. Mm-hmm. And I just said the next yes. And I just said the next yes. Yeah. And I don't know why I'm going to cry here, but I want that to be my life.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that we do, as followers of Jesus, like, don't we just want to be willing to say, like, I'm going to live this like surrendered life. And yes. I just want to say yes to wherever you take me and whatever it looks like. And for you, I mean, that's what it was. And for other one listening, they have different stories. And for me, different stories. But there's so much joy there. And I know that you've experienced that even.
Oh, my goodness. I think I always say Jesus is the absolute best. Mm. He is my favorite. And I think the next yes and trusting that he provides the light just sets our feet free. It sets my heart free from all the weighty circumstances and from attaching to the beautiful circumstances.
That's good. Yeah.
And so I just am so, I'm like, it is our greatest hope. The light of Jesus. Greatest hope.
He's our only hope.
Absolutely.
He is our hope. Patoy, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Doors take us to summers away or winter adventures and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC. Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Okay, I would love to hear, what are you loving and what are you reading?
What am I reading? This is funny because I read so many books at once that it takes me a long time to get through them. But I'm reading one fun book.
Okay.
And it's called The Lost Art of Dress.
Okay.
Which is so random, but it's so good.
It is? Okay.
It's so good. It talks about, this is such a nerdy, but it's about how fashion has played a role in history.
Oh,
and
okay.
The section that I'm in right now talks about World War I and how women were, how they were now allowed to be a part of the war.
Because we needed them.
Yes.
In the factories, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so the section that I'm reading about is talking about these women and how they were seamstresses who are shifting a male uniform into a female uniform.
Oh, wow.
Because it conserved dollars, but also allowed them to participate, but honor themselves as women. It's fascinating.
Love it.
So interesting. But also reading Jackie Hill Perry's book, Holier Than Thou. Man, that is not one you sprint through.
Nope.
So I am taking my sweet time.
I love that.
And it has been beautiful to read.
Such a great
so
book.
So fun.
Yeah.
And then I'm also reading Bringing Up Bebe, which is just a mom book.
I love it.
So I'm reading
all
the
things. Do you read a book or like on a Kindle?
I read a book.
Yeah, I like books too.
I'm trying to get into Audible.
Yeah. Oh, I love listening. I can only listen to fiction though.
Okay.
Because the other ones, I want to see it. I want to touch it. I want to underline it.
Okay. That's good to know that that's your criteria.
Or memoirs, like someone's story. Like I'm fine to listen to that. Yeah.
Yes. Because I've tried and I'm like, wait, I need to see that. I think I'm listening to the wrong kind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I like listening to something that I don't need to remember forever.
Yeah.
Yes. That should be the criteria.
That's good.
I actually listen to this and leave it.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Okay. New criteria.
There you
go. Got that. I'm loving my new shoes.
The ones you have on right now?
Yeah.
Lindsay and I both noticed them when you walked in. Tell us about them.
Okay. They're so comfortable. They're from a little company called Soles.
S-O-L-S.
S-O-L-S.
Uh-huh.
And I know nothing other than I saw them at Spring at the Silos, which is an event in Waco that invites a bunch of vendors from all over the country in. And they were the sweetest family that hand makes leather shoes.
Oh my gosh.
So they're
really
very cute.
And that
Thank
color
you.
That you have, the little mauve, is like everywhere this
it
right
is
now.
It is so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they have a fall at the Silos or is it just spring?
It's Silobration in the fall.
Okay. Because I have never made it to any of these.
Oh.
And I just forget. And then I see it and I'm like, well, there's another year that I have not been able to go.
Okay. I will say, as someone who lives in Waco and has gone multiple times, I think this Spring at the Silos was one of the best that they've ever had. It was really, really fun.
Okay, well, you'll have to keep me in the loop as to when they are.
I'll tell you all the tips and tricks for
how
to avoid.
All those things. All those things. Okay, what else are you loving?
Okay, this is so random, but I'm loving Pinterest.
Are you?
Because I have an afro and I'm tired of managing it. So I've been on Pinterest looking at braid hairstyles because I know
Can you
nothing.
Do it yourself?
No.
Okay, so that's where it's hard. Like,
Pinterest. I forget about Pinterest and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's no politics over here.
No, it's just fun
this
stuff.
This is just fun stuff.
It's so lovely.
I missed this.
I know.
So I've been
great quotes, great photos.
Yes! I've been loving it. So
you can dream of couches and sunrooms and pool decks and birthday
Absolutely.
Parties and
So I've That's been awesome. Learning about different braid styles because I'm ready to have a break.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. And I've just been loving writing. I've gotten a sitter once a week just to give myself time to do whatever I want.
I love that.
Which has been so good for me and for Addie.
Yeah.
And so I enjoy writing a lot, which I finally can admit to myself, and just creating space for it has been so fun.
So great.
Yeah.
Well, this has been so great. Pretoria, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you for having me. This is really fun. Fun to see you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast. We are truly grateful for every single story that we get to share with you, every encouragement we get to give you, and every opportunity we get to point all of us to Jesus. If you're loving this show, we would really appreciate it if you would leave us a rating and or a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, tell your friends. That is the number one way that people find out about our show. It's because you tell them. Join us right here every Wednesday and Friday for meaningful conversations that will make us think, they'll make us laugh, and they'll always point us back to Jesus. And come find me other places on the internet as well. I love Instagram. I'm over there at Jamie Ivey. And if you've never visited my YouTube page, you're going to want to go there. Have you ever listened to a show and wondered, I wonder what they look like? Well, go find us over there. It's jamieivey.com/YouTube. The Happy Hour is produced by Lindsay Sweeney. Show notes are written by Abigail Castell. Graphics are by Amaya Savoy Easton. The show is edited by Angie Elkins. And I'm your host every week, Jamie Ivey. And goodness gracious, I love being here with you guys. Until next time, have a happy hour with a friend.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox.
Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.